welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to Kamau right now on KALW Radio. We are live at the Starline Social Club in the beautiful city of Oakland, California. And I live in the other city of Berkeley. Not only that, hey, it was expensive over here. Well, I'm doing the best I can. Not only that, but we are broadcasting live on KALW and streaming online to who knows where. And give it up for the band Old Silvertongue, everybody. My name is W. Kamau Bell, which I'm reading off a card because I'm very sleepy. And tonight we're going to have some conversations, some funny, some serious, and some may even be a little bit awkward. Hey. On our last show, I talked with a sex shop owner, Nina Joyner, from Fillmore Adult Gallery in Oakland. You guys know her, yeah? She brought out some sex toys, live sex toys on the radio. It was awkward. For some, not for me so much. I really dug it. So on this show, we're going to talk it out and have some fun while we do it. My guest tonight from one of my favorite podcasts, 99% Invisible, give it up for Avery Truffleman, everybody. Avery Truffleman from 99% Invisible. One of my favorite comedians of all time, period. Give it up for Oakland's Corinda Dobbins. And this last guest I can't even believe is here. She's an activist, one of the leaders of the Black Panther Party. Give it up for the legendary Erica Huggins. And later in the program, we're going to talk with Carol-Dean Maxumi, who had a very awkward experience when trying to board a Southwest Airlines flight recently. And it wasn't just awkward because it was Southwest. All right. And since this has come out right now, we want to know what's going on with you right now here in the audience and listening on the radio and in the Twitterverse. So what's up with you right now? Maybe you have a question for one of our guests tonight. Maybe you want to know what's happening with me right now. My right now is what's going on with me. My wife is out of town, and she's been out of town for 3 days, so I'm doing a thing that's called solo parenting, or what my mom called parenting. Hashtag married privilege. I have the privilege to say I'm having, I can't even call my mom to complain. Mom, I'm all by myself while I'm being a parent. Oh, really? Is that hard? It's so hard, Mom. So I should really say Happy Father's Day to my mom. My dad's listening right now. That's not going to go over well with him. But yeah, so I'm very tired. This is my second Red Bull. There may be a backup Red Bull here, so I really need your love and support tonight. Feel free to, if I fall, pick me up. It's cool. Thank you. And we all know what's going on right now in the Bay Area. We are actually doing this show in the middle, directly in the meat of Game 6 of the NBA Finals, the Golden State Warriors versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I'm surprised this room isn't empty. but yes, we're doing it. So there will be live updates during the show. In fact, right now, I will let you guys know what's going on in the game. Let me pull it up on my phone quick. Do people not want to know? Do you not want to know? Yeah, you don't want to know. It's cool. It's cool. Yeah, it's fine. Let's keep it moving. Keep it moving, Jamocha. We will not do... The audience is just... We thought we'd do live updates throughout the show. The audience has just booed the idea of live updates. So cut all that. We will just pretend like we are in a vacuum. Meanwhile, every now and again, you'll see me look down at my phone and go, oh, yay, or damn. You don't know. Who knows what's going to happen. That's right. But, man, so much is going on right now. We got Game 6 of the Warriors. It is Sunday. It is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to the fathers out there. I know we have some SF dads out there. Happy Father's Day, SF Dads Club. They stood up. Two people stood up. There's two dads in SF who want to claim being dads in SF. So yes, and also I know this is the Bay Area. We have to be sensitive. Happy Father's Day to the fathers. Happy Father's Day to the mothers who had to be fathers. Happy Father's Day to the people who didn't have a mother or a father and had to be fathers to themselves. Have I included everybody? Happy Father's Day if you're thinking about being a father. I'm trying to be as Bay Area collect as I can be. Yeah, and there's a lot going on. We are here in Oakland. There's a lot going on in Oakland. We had an interesting thing happen in Oakland recently where Mayor Libby Schaaf fired the police chief about a week ago. Yes, that's... You know, it's funny, whenever a police chief gets fired, it's always a good thing. It's always a good thing. And then she hired a new guy, and then 5 days later, fired him. Whoops. that didn't go well. And it's funny, I was like, how is she going to distract from this story? You fired two police chiefs in about 5 days. And then today I pull up Facebook. Apparently Mayor Liddy Schaaf made today a happy Tupac Day. It's Tupac Shakur's birthday. That's right. It is Tupac Shakur Day in Oakland, but it ain't that good because I think we all went to work and to school. So come on, Mayor Schaaf. Got to get us out of that. There's so much happening. We know what's going on in Orlando. We will talk about that later. I have spent far too much time on Twitter fighting with people about Orlando. Here's the thing. I mean, I guess I'm a Christian, but here's the thing. I'm not the kind of Christian who tells Muslims about what it is to be a Muslim. You know what I mean? I'm on Twitter, and there's Christians telling other Muslims about the true nature of Islam. Like, what are you doing? You don't know. It's like, and they say things like, have you read the Quran? The Quran says, bop, 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 bop. That's basically, I'm quoting verbatim. Have you read the Quran? And they're saying all these hateful things the Quran say, and I want to be like, have you read the Quran? Have you read the Bible? It's pretty much the same. You can't be gay, and you can't eat lobster, all right? So it's... Everybody's religious text from a long time ago is pretty messed up, if you know what I'm saying. And then, the one slightly good thing we did get out of this so far is, I know it's a horrible thing, we'll talk about it later, is we got an angry Obama speech. Isn't that awesome? When you get an angry Obama speech, you know what I mean? It's such a great, he was just like so mad. I love this new Obama at the end of his term. He's like a, you know what I mean? He's like a college senior who's got all the credits and needs to graduate, but he's just hanging out for a little while. And he's got that Danny Glover, I'm getting too old for this mess thing going on. He was so mad. I'm like, can we start over 7 years ago with this Obama? Is that a thing we can do? Welcome to come out right now! We have some amazing guests to help us talk about what is going on in the world right now. My first guest, as I said, is one of my favorite comedians. We've worked together many times. We've toured together. She's open for The Daily Show's Trevor Noah. Bitch Magazine said she's one of the 6 hilarious female comedians you don't know yet, but tonight you will know her. Please welcome Corinda Dobbins! What's up, Corinda? Good. Good to see you. Love you so much. My next guest is a producer and regularly appears on one of my favorite podcasts, 99% Invisible, which she was kind enough to let me crash in a recent episode because they were recording and I just walked up and started talking. And you can also hear her voice on audio tours at the SF MoMA. Give it up for Avery Trufelman! Thank you, Avery.
Thank you.
My final guest is an educator, Black Panther Party member, former political prisoner, activist, and poet. We are honored to welcome Erica Huggins, everybody. Erica Huggins. Thank you. Thank you. That's okay. It's the radio. Nobody noticed. You shouldn't say anything. You ruined everything. You're ruining the illusion. So, Eric, I want to start off. What should I call you? I feel like I want to call you Your Highness. Is that how it goes with the...
No.
What should I call you?
Erica.
Okay, I'll get that. Ooh, this is working out already. Thank you, Erica. Thank you, everybody, for coming. So this show is come out right now, and we need to talk about what's going on right now. And Corinda, I hear you like to... tell me what's going on with you right now. Just go into it, because we have a similar issue.
What's going on with me right now is battle rap.
Battle rap. Yeah. Some people are Googling that. We'll explain, everybody. We'll explain. Battle rap. And what about battle rap?
Well, come on. I have a 22-year-old daughter, and in order for me to spend quality time with her, sometimes I have to get into what she's into. Right okay. Now, she's in the Queen of the Ring
Queen
battle
of the
rap.
Ring. All right.
And it's wonderful and it's awful. At the same time.
And so Queen of the Ring battle rap, it's all-female battle rap is what it sounds like.
Yes. And they're inside of a boxing ring.
Whoa.
And they're battling each other with lyrical rhymes.
And why are you obsessed with it?
It sent me down a rabbit hole, man. It's I love the wordplay. And, you know, as a comedian, we sort of mine the same material over and over and over again. And so it's giving me some motivation. I'm like, this woman just found 38 ways to insult this other woman's vagina. Like, I need to step my game up.
very empowering.
Very empowering.
Like, I need to find some different ways to do it.
I mean, that's the thing. I've fallen down the YouTube hole of battle rap before, and it's so mean.
It is.
And so skilled. But you kind of can't tell your friends about it because you can't send them a clip of, like, look at this battle rap, and it's just filled with the worst things ever.
Yeah, I can't send my feminist friends clips from Queen of the Ring. Like, they would be like, stop. Don't send me. I mean, it's very disrespectful. But very skilled at what they do. So.
It's skilled disrespect.
Yes, it is.
Which, to be honest, that's one thing black people are good at.
You know, it's like playing a dozen times a thousand.
Yeah, yeah. So are you thinking about maybe battle rapping?
You know, after I've watched like 10, 12 battles, like I think I could stand on the side of the ring at this point. I think
you could be queen of the side of the ring.
I could like be queen of the side of the ring and don't say nothing because I don't want anybody talking about my mother.
Yeah. That's the thing about it. I feel like if I was battle rapping, I would take it really seriously. Like, because they say really mean things. I'm like, that's not nice, man.
I know. You got to like research your opponent's whole life and just dismantle it in the ring. I feel like I could be good at that, but I don't want anybody talking about me, so I don't want to do it.
So basically it's like Twitter, but it rhymes.
Yes.
All right, fair enough. I already have people doing that to me on Twitter, but not with the lyrical dexterity, not at all. So Avery, what's going on with you right now? What's going on at 99% Invisible LLC?
Let me just quickly say, I've been watching these videos too, and my favorite thing to see is the people who are being rapped at and just like how amazing and stoic they are. That is inspirational to
me. Yeah, because they're very in your face, and you have to just act like you're not listening. Because you don't want to give them power. You're like, somebody's like, yo mama, and you're like, do-do-do.
Meanwhile, when you leave, it's like that Sarah McLachlan commercial. In the arms of an angel. Just people, just that Denzel tear going down.
That's exactly what happened.
My mom actually did hurt my feelings when I was 11. I don't know how you found that out.
They're so brave. But no, it's what's going on with me is I actually just came from the office where I'm working on a story that I'm really excited about for 99% Invisible. And we're normally a show about architecture and design, even though we like stretch those boundaries.
Yeah, I've listened to the show for a long time. But sometimes when I was in an episode, I'm like, man, you're really stretching it because I don't know nothing about none of those things.
Well, this is tangentially about architecture. It's actually about this study that happened at Berkeley in the 1960s, 50s through 60s, where they were trying to figure out, like, oh my God, I have to think of a quick way to say this. I'm not used to live radio. Where they were trying to figure out what makes people creative. And this was before, like, brain scans. This was before genetic testing. So they were just kind of, like, throwing spaghetti at the wall, trying everything. They were like, all right, here are some colored panels, make a mosaic. Or like, you know, if you could stick a third arm on a human body, where would you put it? Just asking all kinds. Seriously, we have all
That's dumb, in the center of your chest, of course. Duh.
Well, you should hear some of these recordings. They're amazing. They're going to be aired on the podcast, but they've never been heard before. And it feels like you're a fly on the wall at the Bohemian Club. They're all like twirling martini glasses, and they're like, "Well, yeah. So I'd rather say that it'd be better if an arm were to come out of the back of the neck. No, I quite disagree. It'd be better if it were, you know, on the side of the leg."
So they sound like gangsters from old black and white movies.
Yes, everyone sounded the same back then.
Yeah, yes.
And they But it's interesting. The reason we're covering it on 99% Invisible is because a large part of the study were architects, because they figured there are like three kinds of creative people. There are like artists and writers who are very much invested in making their personal vision external, and then there are like scientists and mathematicians who also have to be creative but kind of within a set of parameters, and then there are architects who like have to do both. And they actually got 40 of the most famous architects in the world to like come to Berkeley and submit to 3 days of these like bonkers tests. So
nice.
Yeah, it's been really interesting sifting through it and trying
Has there been a discovery of what makes people creative? Because I feel like it's pretty easy, just a painful childhood and free time.
You got it.
Yeah,
I think you nailed it.
That's pretty much what they
found.
That's
how this came together. You're not going to bully me. I'm going to my room and think about jokes. Well, Erica Huggins, thank you for coming. I appreciate that. Thank you for being here. Give a round of applause to Erica Huggins, everybody. So, before I ask you your right now, I feel like I have to take advantage of the moment here and ask you a question that I've wondered, because it's happened to me recently. whenever, because I did the show United Shades of America, and then I did, and we did an episode where I talked to the Ku Klux Klan.
I saw it.
Okay. What'd you say?
You are brave.
You know, to hear that from a Black Panther means a lot, and I'm going to try not to cry. Thank you. You are brave. I feel like the thing that I get a lot on Twitter is like the same people who are tweeting at Muslims about Islam who aren't, and even though they're not even good Christians, the thing that I'm getting from a lot of people is like, when are you going to do an episode about the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party? Do you find yourself in a position where people think the new Black Panther Party is actually the same as the Black Panther Party?
Well, people.
Or am I just hanging out in the wrong places?
Well, people don't understand what the original Black Panther Party is.
Yes.
Was. Continues to be. So. Just the name, hearing the name makes people believe that, well, it must be the same thing.
Yeah.
And the Black Panther Party was not a nationalist organization. It was international. And the gist of the party was our community programs. It wasn't the sexy photos of men with guns and berets.
Yeah.
Women ran the Black Panther Party.
And I think the thing is funny is that when people ask me about the new Black Panther Party, they're sort of pretending that the Black Panther Party is the inverse of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
I got asked once if the by a media person if the Black Panther Party used the same template as the Tea Party.
What?
Yes.
And you were like, we never asked anybody for their birth certificates.
So there's confusion anytime, especially young African American or other people of color. We were median age 19 years old. I was 18 when I joined the Black Panther Party.
Wow.
That's something to really think about.
That is something to think about, because I feel like if you follow 19-year-olds on like Instagram right now, it doesn't look like they're starting the Black Panther Party.
Right. Well, we were serious.
Yeah.
And there are young people today that are serious, very serious.
Absolutely.
And I'm so inspired by them. But mass media did a really good job of supporting the FBI's counterintelligence program and painting, misdirecting, redirecting, and eventually neutralizing. So I'm not surprised when people misunderstand, because people have not been given information.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Erica. And my next question is, what's going on with you right now?
Well, I've been thinking every day. I think about the children. I mean, the children.
Yes.
And all of our children. And you're a mom. You're a dad. I'm a mom. And you're
Avery, you got a cat?
Avery.
You got a
And you love children.
Do you like children?
No. We made the connection before we walked in here that creativity is the birthright of human beings.
Yes.
And so if we're concerned about over-incarceration and incarcerating children, which we do in great numbers, we would, instead of incarcerating them, we could cultivate their creativity, mine it, use it. They have so much to say. And California builds the most prisons and spends something like $100,000 a year to incarcerate a teenager. We could be educating them throughout their lives, not yeah. just in college. And we set the stage for it by the structural inequities that exist, by having poor children living in conditions of poverty.
Yes.
With women who are living in conditions of poverty, and we act like it doesn't exist. Sometimes we even act like it, because it's hard to continually see it. So that's what's been on my mind. That's what's up right now.
Give it up for Erica Huggins, everybody. Thank you. If you've just tuned in, this is Kamau Right Now on KALW live from the Starline Social Club. I'm W. Kamau Bell, and I've been speaking with Corinda Dobbins, Avery Truffleman, and Erica Huggins. It says right here we should check in on the Warriors score, but I don't want to do that and lose half the audience. So please check in. Okay, now we have people saying check in. People don't. I'm not doing it. I don't want this show to end up in some sort of Warriors fans versus Warriors fans riot. Let's not do that. So we'll keep it moving. But anyway, we'll get to my right now. My right now is sort of the nation's right now is about Orlando. As we know, a couple days ago in Orlando, a man went into a gay nightclub in Orlando and with a semi-automatic weaponry and killed 49 people and injured close to 50 more. And it has been all the news has talked about. And I'm on Twitter a lot, and I try to debate people on Twitter. And anytime you say anything about gun safety, those people go, why are you trying to take away the Second Amendment? And so my question is to everybody here is, and I know I'm talking to Black Panthers, this is really big, should it matter what the Second Amendment says when it was written a long time ago by white men? Does it, so, Michael, and I know the Black Panther Party, the Second Amendment was important because you were like, ta-da! Turns out it didn't say not black people can have guns, and so we're going to walk around. So what should it matter what these pieces of paper say is my question. And what's the thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about, okay, this is going to sound horrible, but I swear it's going to get better. I've been thinking...
that's a good intro to anything right there.
Well, because this is I work for a show about design, I've been thinking a lot about the gun that the gunman used as a designed object. I mean, he didn't even have to reload it. It fired off something, I don't have the exact numbers in my head, but something like, you know, 25 bullets in 4 seconds. It was an MCX, I believe. It's just like that technology, I mean, no one should have that ever, but it, especially not civilians. I mean, that would be like if we were all allowed to buy NASCAR-grade cars and drive them all over the highway and then be like, why is no one obeying the speed limit? It just is like not, I understand, I do have sympathy for the art, for the people who do want to go hunting or protect their land, but you can easily do that with a rifle, which is the same thing that Dick Cheney shot his friend in the face with, and his friend lived.
Which is like, why we shouldn't have Dick Cheney's.
That's we shouldn't have Dick Cheney either. But I just feel like a lot of, you know, and when the Second Amendment was written, it was about, like, muskets that needed, you know, 15 minutes to load with one very expensive bullet. And I just feel like, you know, we can legislate it all we want from the consumer end, but I feel like we also have to consider it on the part of the manufacturers and the designers. And this gets into, like, the prison industrial complex and the military industrial complex and just all the terrible systemic ways that everything is so messed up.
Through the eyes of an angel.
I'd never survive a rap battle.
Yes.
But yeah, I just feel like as an object, we have to reconsider it.
That's good. I think you're in as an object, yes, not as a right and privilege. Corinda, you got thoughts about this?
I mean, I just think people look at the Second Amendment and all I hear people say is that we have a right to bear arms.
Yeah.
And I think everything in the Constitution has limits, even the freedom of speech. I mean, you can't go into a crowded theater and yell fire. You can't threaten the president. You can't defame someone without consequences. So the right to bear arms doesn't mean that everybody gets to have everything that they want.
Yes.
You know, and to have civilians having semi-automatic weapons, I think it's common sense that that shouldn't be able to happen.
Yeah, and I think that's important. You say the right to bear the right to bear arms, whatever the Constitution says, doesn't mean everybody gets everything they want. There are always limits to your freedom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like I would like,
but they pretend like there's supposed to be no limit to gun. Who can buy guns? Yeah. How you can buy guns? If you're mentally ill, if you're in some states, if you're blind, you can buy a gun.
Wow, I feel like I want to say about that, but I'm sure there's some blind guy out there who's like, I'm a great shot. I'm a great shot.
I mean, you know.
And I feel like whenever we bring up the mentally ill thing, people are like, well, people, it's really a mental illness problem. And I feel like I know people who are on mental illness drugs. I know people who, I'm in the streets with people in Berkeley hanging out with some mentally ill people, just hanging out. And I feel like most times people are mentally ill are just dangerous to, like, pints of ice cream. They're not actually dangerous to people.
Right.
They're not actually looking to get a gun, all right?
I mean, they don't even want to have background checks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what would be the harm if this guy had waited 2 days?
Yeah. When he goes into a gun shop and says,
and then
I would
somebody
like,
discovered that maybe he was on an FBI watch list or whatever it is, and then this doesn't happen.
Yeah, I feel like we talk about background checks, but this is just needed a front ground check. Like, this guy, just look at his face.
That's true.
All his friends were like, we knew it. This was not net. The one thing I think that came out of that I thought was really interesting was that, because they talked to his ex-wife, and I thought, come on, nobody can survive a character description by their ex. You know what I mean? No matter who you are. I mean, we already know he's a bad guy.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, let's get your ex. None of us can survive our exes going on TV to talk about what we did and what we do.
That's true. That's
we will true. All find, we will all sound like persons of interest at that point.
FBI wanted.
Yeah. Erica, what do you think about this?
Well, I used to be wanted by the FBI, so I don't know.
Wow.
Yes. I slid right into that.
Yeah. Go team. That was an alley-oop, which is an apt metaphor for this evening.
Y'all are fun. So
putting that in my bio.
But the thing is, we live in a violent society. It was violent from the jump.
Yeah.
There is nothing more violent than owning humans. And then we never, ever healed from any of the history. Not one of us. I'm not just talking about brown people, black mm-hmm. people. Mm-hmm. We did not heal from that. And so we have lived in constant fear for centuries in this country. And we built walls around everything. And so we live by the gun. I'm hoping that there would be police forces all over the United States with no guns.
Yes.
That the background check on police officers.
Yes.
And that they be given permission to carry a gun when necessary, but it's a last resort.
Yes.
And the police with today are not trained properly.
Yes.
And it goes back to the cradle to prison pipeline because we're training children to be violent. And then we blame them. We wonder, why are they violent? And we blame them for the way things are when they were born into a hot mess.
Yes.
So I think that Orlando broke my heart. Those were all not only LGBT, Q, I, and so on, people, but also people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Most all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the mother's faces. And I know the angst of losing a child. That's really up for me. And I hope this is not a bummer or a downer, but I'm just saying, humanity, come on. I was listening to Stacey Ann Chin, that beautiful... Did you see the poem she did for Orlando? Well, the refrain of it and the end of it is, choose love. Choose love. Choose love. And she was talking about all the intersecting identities revolving around what we're calling Orlando or that night at the Pulse Club Latin night. And guns are one thing, yes, an object. And who gets to have them? And who said it was... What in our society said it was okay to have a gun and to wield it in the way that's been done from the United States all over the world?
Thank you. And I'm going to tell you something, Erica. You can never be a bummer. Let me just be clear about that. Give it up for our panel, everybody. Give it up for our panel. Well, don't go anywhere, panel. It's time we check in on what's happening with our social media desk. Let's check in with what's happening on Twitter with you in the live audience. Please meet up for our tweet wrangler, Becca Hoekstra, everybody. Becca Hoekstra.
Hi, everyone.
Right over there.
Yay. Okay, so starting off, it's summertime. Things are getting warm.
Yeah, so can we, just to be clear, you have some fun things we can go, we can have some things to lighten the mood a little bit, Becca?
We'll get there.
Okay.
It's coming. All right, so this is the first one from Marcos Lewis. It's summertime, which means eating watermelon awkwardly in front of white people.
Does the audience not know that pain? Is there any people of color here or any black people who can recognize? Yes, there's a hand in the air in the middle. Yes, yes. It's so hard to explain to your black child why you can't do that out in public. As my sister-in-law put it, some fruits are just indoors fruits. It's funny. She's talking about bananas because of the sexual overtones. I'm like, I'm going to use that for racism. Thank you, my sister-in-law. Gina?
We've also got lots of people talking about future President Trump. It's a concern. So Gangsta Granny is looking forward to the Trump rally in Fort Worth tonight. Wish there was a wall to keep his sorry ass out of Texas, and then a lot of devil emojis.
That's it.
Quit in the rain.
Yes.
Needs to rhyme a little more.
Needs to rhyme a little more. Maybe there's a follow-up tweet where, like, keep his sorry ass out of Texas, something, something, something.
I don't know.
Yeah. The three of us couldn't come up with one rhyme for Texas, so we've opted out of Queen of the Ring. What else we got?
This one, it gets better right after this, I promise. But this is from Enverman Chatterjee from some graffiti he found in San Francisco. This is what I see when I leave work. San Francisco in the age of Trump. We've got swastika graffitis. We've got build the wall. Really not great stuff happening right in San Francisco, which everyone thinks is super progressive and great, but surprise.
Oh, it just makes me sick. This is the natural conclusion of gentrification right there. That's what that is. When it ends with a swastika and build a wall.
It gets better right after this, though.
Please,
like,
please,
look,
Becca.
Someone tweeted kittens at us. So, Tara, I got new kittens last week, and they make it really hard to feel bad. So, for everyone in the audience that just had to look at that graffiti, here's some kittens.
Yeah, for people on the radio, we went from a swastika to a beautiful picture of kittens.
You know. All right, let's see. What else? We have a question for Avery from Corinna Cornejo. What's your take on the just do the work every day versus waiting for the muse idea of creativity?
Oh, my God. Well, I'm not one of the researchers who partook in the study, but their findings, again, these are not going to be things that are like, wow, amazing to you. They're kind of things that you like sort of knew already, but that a lot of creativity is a foundation of skills. And of a set of skills and a basic intelligence. You don't have to be very, very, you don't have to be a genius. And then that stuff kind of percolates. And then there is such a thing as like an aha moment. And it's a mixture of both. That's like, it's not an easy like BuzzFeed listicle. Like, here's the ingredients for how to be creative. Like, it's different for different people.
And it also helps to, again, have a painful childhood.
It does, actually. It does, actually.
And, again, lots of free time. Lots of free time.
Yeah, independence is important, especially in children, in raising creative children.
Yes. What else we got, Becca?
This is going to be our last one. We've got a question for Erica. Greetings. This is from Lisa Skeet. My question is, as a former Black Panther and lifelong advocate of power to the people, what do you say are the strengths and weaknesses, if any, of Black Lives Matter?
Jesus Lord. All
yeah,
right.
That's a question.
We're canceling the rest of the show, everybody, because this is... And we're locking the doors. This is going to be a seminar that's going to take about 4 weeks.
I think that I don't want to go to weaknesses because I don't know of any.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. There we go. Or Erica will answer it in a tweet. Yes.
And I really don't, though. And speaking of creativity, the Black Lives Matter movement and the women who conceived the ideas for it, the women.
Yes.
That is so... So a strength, and that they are queer women, strength, that they are willing to impose how we can take care of ourselves. We didn't know how to do that in the Black Panther Party. We worked 20-hour days and didn't take care, even when there was death and murder. And so I just think that they're doing a wonderful job, and I am totally in support of them, inspired by them. And on days like Sunday, when I saw the news about Pulse, I thought about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yes.
And they're for humanity. They keep saying that, and I believe them, and I wish that there was a more direct way that I could garner the intelligence and the wisdom of my generation and turn them over to Black Lives Matter and the movement. I think it needs to be more intergenerational. And I love them. That's what I want to say.
Give it up for our panel, everybody. Thank you, Erica Huggins, Amy Truffman, and Corinda Dobbins, as well as our tweet wrangler, Becca Hookster. We'll have them back on later, so keep those tweets coming at hashtag KamauNow, KamauNow. Now it's time for a little music. Give it up for Old Silvertongue, everybody. Old Silvertongue. For Old Silvertongue, everybody, Old Silvertongue! Again, I'm W. Kamau Bell, and this is Kamau Right Now on KALW. We've heard from Twitter, but let's hear what's happening with the people right here in this room at the Starline Social Club. Please welcome our audience emissary, Jeremy Dalmas, everybody. Jeremy Dalmas.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Kamau.
Jeremy, what are the good people of this audience saying here tonight?
Well, my new favorite audience interaction tool is the comments people leave on brown paper tickets. And one of the comments was, "Warriors just won." So.
But that was.
But it was from a month ago, so.
Okay. or a psychic.
But I'm hoping it's like manifest, like manifest.
Yes.
You know?
It's like The Secret.
Like The Secret, exactly.
Yes.
The other
Some
one.
Some old school Oprah fans out there, I appreciate it. That had a very specific demographic. Like 12 people, like, good one. Everybody's like, "What's The Secret? He's talking about the deodorant?" No.
Another one from Christine says, "I'm hungry, riding the Google bus, the only place they don't have endless refreshments. So people buy Kamau Right Now tickets from the world famous Google buses," which I thought was.
Oh. Cool. You mean, oh. Okay, this is one of those awkward things about the future and all of us crossing all these lines. All right, well, good. Thank you to my supporters from the Google bus. That's a good thing to do instead of driving up property values. Just buy tickets to lefty shows.
And from the audience cards, Taylor Hamilton from San Francisco says, starting a new hashtag movement for hashtag Black Wealth Matters.
Black Wealth Matters?
It says Black Wealth Matters.
What? Is that, that's a thing? Who did that?
Taylor Hamilton.
Right here? Okay, let's go down and talk to Taylor Hamilton for a second. Here we go. It's like the Price is Right, except I come to you. So are you Taylor Hamilton?
Taylor Hamilton.
Oh, nice to meet you, Taylor.
How's it going?
Oh, look, this brother just grabbed the microphone from Jeremy. He's like,
sorry.
I got this. He's like, it's all good. I'm a king of the ring. All right. So tell me about Black Wealth Matters.
I believe that Black Wealth Matters ties a lot into what she was saying up there.
Yes.
That a lot of things, lives, everything really comes from wealth. It's about empowerment. It's about being multi-generational. Mm-hmm. It's about it being holistic.
Okay. And does that mean that you're wealthy?
No.
Again, we're trying to manifest this like The Secret.
I think collectively we're trying to manifest it.
Yeah. So did you come up with this phrase, Black Wealth Matters?
You know, I think that it's already starting, but I think that my definition of it is a little bit different.
Oh, what was the other definition of it?
I think it's more about like kind of just paper and floss.
Oh, and, new TVs.
And that's not to me what it's about. I think it's about having, you know, economic empowerment.
Yes. Because that's how we could save our cities, is if rich black... How do we save our cities? I'm going to ask you, sir. Because I do feel like this all the time. This is a separate conversation. I think, like, there's all these, like, think about athletes and entertainers. Like, you know how we grew up and there was, like, just the Rockefeller family?
Yeah.
That was just, like, that just meant wealth, or the Carnegies, it was just wealthy people. But the next generation is going to be, like, the James family, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Or the Garnett family, or the Jordan family. Like, there's going to be a lot of black money that's not going away.
Yeah.
So what does the future look like with that being the case?
Well, I think it's about us really investing and not just kind of throwing it away and investing in our communities. I made a documentary on Whitney Young, who was a civil rights leader in the 60s.
Okay.
This is really his message, was by being able to gain economic empowerment, we were able to really kind of bind as a force and really be able to change the political system and everything else.
All right. So wait, was this all just a trick to promote your documentary?
No.
Give it
y'all
up.
Called
what's
it
your
out.
Name? What's your name, brother?
I saw you a couple years ago. You were awesome there.
Wait, what are you saying? Now it's not so much? Is that what you're saying?
Still great. Still follow you.
What's your name again, brother?
Taylor Hamilton.
Taylor Hamilton. Everybody give her Taylor Hamilton. They're here. Come out right now. Thanks, Jeremy, and thanks to you all out there. Keep those questions and comments coming. We'll have our guest panel later. And now it is time for my favorite, most favorite part of the show. This is the part of the show where we get into the things that are on our mind that we don't always feel comfortable talking about, or maybe the things we only fight about people on Twitter with, like I've done the last couple days. Our guest tonight is a researcher for the Department of Near Eastern Studies at UC Berkeley and a blogger for the Huffington Post. And he's also known for an incident earlier this year in which he was kicked off a Southwest Airlines flight to Oakland for speaking Arabic, which apparently another passenger on the flight had a problem with because that passenger was a racist. Or... I'll find out. Maybe that's not true. I'll find out. That's my spin on it. I realize that's I said that. Now, myself, having had some experience with racism in and around the 519 area code, I thought I'd talk to him about this. Please welcome Carol Dean Maxumi, everybody. Carol Dean Maxumi. Thank you, Carol Dean, for coming. So first of all, so this story went around a little bit. You were on the news talking about this. Just tell, for those people who aren't aware of it, tell us the story of what happened to you on that Southwest flight.
Sure. So I was having a dinner with the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. It was in Los Angeles.
Wait, you were having a dinner with Secretary General Ban Ki-moon in Los Angeles?
It was a dinner with about 200 people, 250 people.
I feel like if your story starts like that, you shouldn't have been on Southwest, first of all.
So I went to my flight and I called my uncle in Baghdad through Viper, and I was telling him about the event, about the dinner that we had, and one lady, she just felt uncomfortable, and she just left the plane, and I was saying, I hope she's not reporting me. And
so as soon as she left the plane, you thought,
That's why when I hang my the phone with my uncle, because I thought that there is something weird. She wanted to leave, and she left, and she was sitting on the third row of the plane. So she left, and then 2 minutes later, when Southwest manager came and said, that I have to step out the, outside the plane. And I was like, okay, I think this is the moment. So
you knew the whole time.
I knew when she was staring at me when I was calling. And that's why when I had to finish my phone call with my uncle and told him that I will call him later. And then later on, she just left the plane. That's why I ended my conversation with my uncle.
Oh, my God. I feel like people call. I've had that conversation where you have to go, right. I got to go. Racism's happening. I'll talk to you later.
She was turning around and looking between the two chairs. It was something weird to someone looking at.
Can I ask the question that a lot of people aren't going to want me to ask on Twitter because sure. They'll yell at me later? Can you tell me what her race was? If you had to guess.
They didn't tell me anything.
They didn't?
I didn't see.
And you didn't see? Like,
no,
you didn't,
no. I kept my eyes down.
We don't know?
Okay. Yes.
All right. So you were talking to your uncle about your awesome baller dinner.
Right. It was chicken and mashed potatoes. It's good.
Your story gets worse and worse. They're chicken and mashed potatoes.
Yeah. So I stepped out of the plane, and then I see three police officers, and I didn't know. I thought that you can shake the hand of the police officer.
Oh, no, 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 no. That should be part of the Welcome to America thing. Right. Don't. If you're darker than this bag, don't try to shake a police officer's hand.
I didn't know that. So, yeah. So I came and said, my name is Khairuddin, and he was like, put your hand back and stand on the wall. So that when I know that, oh, this is serious. And the Southwest manager, he said that I was having a serious conversation. And I told him, no, I was speaking with my uncle and I had attended a dinner and all of that. And he said, in what language you were speaking? And I said, in Arabic. And he just got pissed. He said, why would you speak in that language? Don't you know the environment around the airports? Why would you use that language? So I wanted
hold
to...
Hold on, you gotta... why would you speak that language? Oh my God, I'm having the vapors. Because this is the problem with that. That's an unanswerable question.
Well, yeah. I estimated... I just told him that, it's my fault. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
I mean, I understand why you did that. It's just hurting everybody's...
But then he kept pushing, and he said, look, what have you done? You were delayed 30 minutes because of you. And he said, no, that's not me. That's what Islamophobia got this country into. And he said, you know what... And he said, you know what? You're not going back to the plane. And the police reached to his device and said, call FBI, call FBI. They took me out of the plane and then, out of the terminal. And they had to bring my bag, but they didn't trust me. So they had to bring dogs and ask me a few times which was my bag, which one of the two bags that they pulled out. And I kept saying, this is my bag. And he said, are you sure this is not your bag? I was like, no, this is my bag. So they had to
Are you sure this bag that we've planted a bomb in is not your bag? Are you sure it's not this one?
Yeah.
So what? Okay. So that's the worst. Everything you've said is the worst. After dinner with Ban Ki-moon, it's just gotten worse and worse.
Yes. But they called me.
So then how do you get home at that point?
So the FBI agent came to me and said, I have to. She advised me to apologize to the Southwest manager. And she said, I'm sorry, you won't be able to fly with Southwest. I told her, I will just get my refund. I cannot apologize because this is my dignity and I will not allow it. And
I hope you... I'm guessing you didn't, but I'm kind of hoping you said that in Arabic, but I'm guessing you didn't do that.
No, they actually interrogated me about the word martyr, which is shaheed.
Yes.
So that was...
That was the interrogation. Because wasn't there some... I've read some articles that said the person who complained about you claimed they spoke Arabic.
I don't know.
Okay, I just read that.
I mean, if she speaks Arabic, yes. she can come out and we can handle this.
So you don't know who this person is?
No, I don't know.
Wow, I had a very similar situation to this. It was way much lower stakes. I was just trying to get a scone. But, man... So then how did you get home?
So, yeah, I wasn't... I just walked from Terminal 1 in LAX to Terminal 6. I went to Delta.
That's the Arabic-speaking terminal at Delta, yes.
And I took my flight. It was, instead of arriving here at 12:20, I arrived at 9 p.m.
Thank you, Cameron. And you got here today, right? You flew here in town today.
Right, yes. With United.
With United. So, just to be clear, Southwest hasn't given you like free tickets for life.
They didn't even apologize. But all I'm asking is for an apology. And the city, Berkeley City Council, they wrote a letter to Southwest, but they just don't want to listen to that.
Nice. Apparently, you've got more pull with the Berkeley City Council than I do. Well, that's good to know. Right. So here's the thing about this. This is the my final question about this, because considering with everything that happened in Orlando, there's this whole idea in America, see something, say something, that came out of 9/11. If you see something, say something. But so that person on the plane, that woman clearly thought she saw something, so she said something. What are your thoughts on that?
About what?
Because I mean,
you were in Orlando, now we're in the plane.
Yeah, now it's all connected in my head. I'm very sleepy. I'm solo dadding this week. But what do you? What do you think Southwest should have done at that point, I guess I would say?
I think everything should be in the hand of the TSA, because once I put my stuff in the TSA, once I get, you know, the security check, people shouldn't be afraid, because if we don't trust the TSA, then these matters should be handled with the security. Not any person can report anyone. Yeah. That's not how it goes in this, especially in this country. Especially in this country.
Well... And I feel, so basically what you're saying is that if that woman stood up, went to them and said, that man on the plane was speaking Arabic, they should have been like, well, you're crazy. You can't fly on this plane anymore, because who knows what you're going to do. Well, that's going to do it for the Awkward Talk. Give it up for Carol Dean Maxumi, everybody. Carol Dean Maxumi, thank you for sharing your experience. Thank you. Man, tonight's show could clearly be like 4 hours long. Let me just say that right now. All right, and right now I want you all to help me back. I'm going to welcome back our awesome panel. Give it up for Corinda Dobbins, Avery Truffin, and Erica Huggins. So let's check in with Becca at the social media desk. Becca, what's going on with Twitter right now with everything? We've said a lot of things in the show. We've said Islam and Muslim several times. We talked about guns. It's got to be pretty frothy out there.
Well, I'm sticking with happy things.
Okay, good, good, good.
I'm just going to live in a bubble from this point on. Starting off from at Crons of Non, I build subway trains and I got a retroactive raise. Closest to reparations, an underground railroad I'll be.
When you're a person of color in America, you got to take reparations where you can get them. You got to invent your own reparations. When they go, I threw in an extra shot of espresso in your latte. Ooh, reparations. What else we got?
Next up, at Pilot Inspectors, my toddler just discovered the delightful feeling of farting in the pool. It's gross and adorable.
The simple pleasures.
Yeah, you know.
What else we got out there?
Question from this guy named Sam Greenspan at Sam Listens.
Oh, Sam Greenspan. I think he works for the podcast 99% Invisible. Am I right about that?
Interesting.
Yes.
This is for Avery. Who is your favorite Teen Girl Squad member and why?
So he wants to know who your favorite Teen Girl Squad member is. I don't even know what that means. But,
yeah, I was
wondering. You're turning several shades of red over there, so clearly...
From Homestar Runner. Did anyone watch that? It's so silly. It's like an internet. Oh, so embarrassing. I watched it in high school.
For those people listening, Avery has slunken down into the chair as if she can't to help herself not be seen on radio, everybody.
He's in the back of the room. He's just embarrassing me. Dad, don't do it.
So I feel like I have to ask, even though I don't know what that means, who's your favorite Teen Girl Squad member and why?
Oh my God! It's like a.
Taylor Swift.
No, it was like a. It was like a joke.
Beyonce at
halftime.
Yes.
Erica Huggins coming through to the rescue to give you.
Thank you.
To give you a good answer, you're like, yes, I will take Erica Huggins' answer of Beyonce at the brain trust. I appreciate this. We're all
not gonna explain Homestar Runner on the radio.
Yes, yes. We'll do that in the after show. Yes. What else we got?
At R.S. Spavins, when I unloaded the tumble dryer just now, all the socks still had a mate.
Yay! It's been a horrible week. Give it up for Simple Pleasures. Humanity can't work it out, but the socks in the dryer can. Somewhere Jerry Seinfeld gets a quarter for us talking about socks in the dryer. Only comedians get that one. All right.
Shout out to at Tashi Diaz. Just had her first essay that she was paid to write published for the establishment. My multiracial identity isn't a party trick. So go check that out. Congratulations. Yay.
the establishment, which is headquartered in Berkeley, California, a great organization. I wrote an article for them one time about the movie Creed. And it's a writer's organization that is run by women and mostly for women, and it pays women a living, a competitive wage to write for the internet, which is not a thing that happens. So give it up for the establishment. What else you got, Becca?
More wonderful positive things. At the Gaff, ordered Starbucks. Name, Brian. He said, with an I or a Y, that's pretty much the most you can hope for.
That's Brian setting his expectations very low for life. Yay. Which is why I say Walter at Starbucks instead of come on. Is there anybody out there, Jeremy, who needs a hug? Did you hear from anybody who needs a hug?
There's someone who wrote this. Trying to figure out if things are getting better or things are getting worse. Nothing seems good, and I'm losing hope in the future. This is from Betsy in San Francisco.
Is Betsy here? Betsy, right? Oh, everybody. I'm going to go talk to Betsy. Come on, let's go talk to Betsy. So, Betsy, what's going on? We'll start with the half hug. Let's face this way so everybody can see. Yeah. Ebony.
I hang out with my friend all the time, and for a really long time, I was like, things have to be getting better. And then she was like, nothing is ever getting better. And after what happened in Orlando and what's happening all over the world, I just am losing a lot of hope. I mean, coming here tonight gives me hope that there are, like, real people in the world. But I live in San Francisco, and there's no real people there. They're all fake. It's a horror. Oh, I'm sorry. Except for everybody.
Some people
here.
Like, hey.
Yeah, totally.
You're here too, so you know the drill.
Yeah, exactly.
You took a break from San Francisco to come here.
Yeah.
So what do you do for a living?
I am a site content producer at Sephora.
Oh.
It's like fine.
So is that for site content producing or Sephora? Which one was that for?
Sephora.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, look at that. You just made some friends. You're going to ask you about your employee discount. Look at
totally.
How that happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
So what can we do? What do you think we can do to make things feel like they're getting better?
I don't know, because I feel like the conversation it's all being had with like-minded people instead of across any, I only talk to Democrats and... You know, like, I'm not going to bother with all that Trump stuff. Like, there's a girl at my work that's like that, and I'm just like, it's not happening between people anymore.
Yeah.
It's like nights like tonight, I'm like, I want everybody to come to these because I feel like the conversation's finally happening across color lines and across, you know, socioeconomic lines, but I don't feel like that's happening anywhere else.
Well, here's two things I like to do, because I think this is actually homework assignment for everybody. We with the election come up, we have to vote for whoever you're going to support, whoever you want to vote for, whoever you feel like that is, you know. Yeah, well, thank you. Hashtag not Trump. I was talking about the left. I didn't even assume that Trump was in the equation. However, in this room, unless somebody came with brought their parents. So here, I'm not hashtag not all parents. But the other thing we have to do is that we actually have to engage with these Trump people and talk them out of voting for Trump.
No, you're right.
So what I would like to do is I would like to give you, for the next come out right now, give you two tickets so you can invite that Trump lady to the show, and I will talk to her directly.
That's awesome.
And here's a hug. Thank you, everybody, for come out right now. That's our show. I want to thank our wonderful guests once again, Corinda Dobbins, Avery Truffman, Erica Huggins, Caroline Maxumi. Support for our show tonight is from the 100% campaign, who wants everyone to have access to affordable, clean energy. Learn more and find out how you can go 100% at 100.org. And thank you to Whole Foods Market for feeding our staff and guests. Thank you to James Rowland and Lauren Grubb, and to the Starline Social Club for hosting us. And thank you to Oaklandish for the shirts. Come Out Right Now team is Ted Muldoon, Dan Brandon, Jeremy Dalmas, Becca Hoekstra, Phil Circus, Max Jacobs, and Matt Martin. Music by Old Silver Tongue. Come Out Right Now is a production of KALW. For those of you in the audience, stay with us. We got more coming up. If you're on the radio, you can catch the rest of the podcast. So go subscribe to Come Out Right Now. I'm W. Kamau Bell. Thank you very much, and good night.